The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
Each year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the feast of Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up according to festival custom. After they had completed its days, as they were returning, the boy, Jesus, remained behind in Jerusalem. But his parents did not know it. Thinking that he was in the caravan, they journeyed for a day and looked for him among their relatives and acquaintances. But not finding him, they returned to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were astounded at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you done this to us? Your father and I have been looking for you with great anxiety." And he said to them, "Why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he said to them. He went down with them and came to Nazareth and was obedient to them. And his mother kept all these things in her heart. And Jesus advanced in wisdom and age and favor before God and man. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord.
First of all, I know today is the intention of the Mass is offered for you, the parish. But I also want us to keep in mind in our prayers and the intention of this Mass all those families who have experienced loss or separation in the past year through war, oppression, or violence, families who are separated forcefully or by natural disasters. Let's keep all of them in our prayers. A family is something that's very complicated. When I was growing up, we always sat on the second pew on the left side of the church wearing our bow ties and blazers, and I think everybody probably just assumed we were the Holy Family. But if they had been with us in the car or at home before or after Mass, they would have known something completely different. We would like everyone to think we're the Holy Family, but we were not. If only people knew. And this goes on for years, doesn't it? Think about the complicatedness of being a family. I myself didn't speak with one of my brothers for probably 6 years. And it was a very difficult time for me. But these kinds of things come up. And unfortunately, I think one of the things that divides families the most is religion. If we could just get past that, you know, what people are thinking or about or judging, and it becomes so complicated. But the family stories in the readings that we have today are pretty different. Actually, they're two pretty similar stories, but different from the experience that we would have. So Hannah prayed for a child, and God gave her Samuel. Now, you know, Samuel was the one who anointed King David. So this was all part of a great, larger plan that nobody knew about, that God had for them. But then this kind of strange thing happens. As soon as Samuel is no longer nursing, she just drops him off at the temple and says he's going to live here forever. Now, that's a good family story. Just leaves him off at the temple to be a Nazarite. And I didn't know what a Nazarite was, so I looked that up. A Nazarite is a person who takes a vow to lead a holy life, not to drink wine ever, and to only cut their hair once a year. I know this sounds kind of strange, but this is what it was. This was very common. You could be a Nazarite perpetually, or you could be a Nazarite for a period of time. To end your vow, you would simply make 3 sacrifices at the temple and shave your head. But if there was no temple, then you were automatically perpetually a Nazarite. You couldn't even comb your hair. So this is kind of gross, I think, but you couldn't use any sort of, you could only kind of scratch your head with your fingers. That was all you could do. And this is what Hannah decides for Samuel. "Thanks, Hannah," Samuel said. And the husband was apparently involved in this too. The father, Elkanah, he was the one who sacrificed the 3-year-old bull at the temple. I don't know, I come from a farm. A 3-year-old bull is a very dangerous animal, very large. And this whole scene just kind of strikes me as odd. Then we have the Jesus story. He goes up to the temple and his parents misplace him. Now that's a good family story. "Son," she says, "why have you done this to us? Your father and I," how many times have you heard that line as a kid? "Your father and I have been looking for you with great anxiety." And he seems not even to register the fact that this was not natural, that he would be gone and his parents would be anxious about him. He says, "Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" And they didn't understand him either. So he returned with them to Nazareth and was obedient to them. So I have 2 takeaways today from these stories. First of all, this concept of house. I mean, we all have a home, right? We live in a house. Well, most of us are fortunate to have houses. And so that's where our family lives. We know that Samuel goes on to establish the house of David. So there's that word again, house of David, which means the lineage of Jesus, which also becomes the house of Jesus, right? Might be also called Christianity. But this is a big moment. Samuel is taken from his father's house and left to live at the house of the Lord, the temple. Jesus is taken from the temple, his father's house, and taken to live in Nazareth with Mary and Joseph. Theologians discuss this a lot. How much could Jesus have known about all of this? He was 12 years old. Apparently, he knew a lot because the doctors and the teachers in the temple were very mesmerized by his wisdom at such a young age. But we don't really know if he knew what was actually the plan of God yet. Samuel knew nothing of the vow that was made for him, but apparently he grew into it and grew into it faithfully. Jesus freely chose the path of the incarnation and the cross in obedience to God the Father, fully aware of what was happening. How much of that he was aware of, we don't know. At 12 years old, only that he advanced in wisdom and age and favor before God and man, as the gospel says. But the second point I want to make is that this concept of home and temple, it seems to be naturally interchangeable. One flows into the other. And we often hear in the Catechism of the Catholic Church that the home is the domestic church. It's where church begins. It's where we come from in order to come here. And we come here in order to go back there together as families. There's a flow that takes place. It's a natural flow. I don't think it's that common with so many families today. But in either story, home and temple seem naturally interchangeable. There is a fundamental connection between the two. The home of the domestic church, the house of God, which is home for all. And this is where family grows. Not just in one or the other, but in both places, family grows. I know there are a lot of families, especially during this time of year when we're listening to confessions, so many people come into the confessional and confess the fact that their children no longer practice the faith. And I always say, well, I don't know, if you had part in that, then that's good to confess, but you don't need to confess their sins, right? But the fact of the matter is, somewhere the connection between there and here wasn't strong. So that when we come to church as a family, as it should be, and we go home from church as a family, we begin to see the similarities and the connections between the two. They're not different, they're the same. because God is here and God is there, and we are there and we are here together. And the plan of God involves both uniting them together.